Hello and welcome to another instalment of our occasional podcast called I Wish I Hadn't. I'm Dave Hill.
And I'm John Wyatt. As you can tell from our names, David and Jonathan, we were born in the 1950s, so we've had many years to accumulate embarrassing moments which we now feel happy to share.
The dictionary defines regret as a sorrowful remembrance, a sense of loss. But we're not in the business of sorrow and loss here. We're dealing with those things in life that we might wish had been otherwise, but which we're now prepared to own up to. Well, John, here we are again. Having it's like buses, isn't it? And having done one podcast together, we're in the same place, and another one comes along almost immediately afterwards.
Well, they're not going to come out almost immediately afterwards, probably.
I think at the end of the last one that we actually did properly, we threatened that the next one would be on the subject that we share, obviously, a lot of memories of, which is education.
Yeah.
And we'd always said that the best way to record that would be face-to-face rather than over a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And the opportunity has arisen.
Yes.
And so here we are, sitting about to launch into certain memories, certain regrets.
From long, long, long ago.
Long ago. In the old black and white days. When schoolboys wore caps and shoved books down the back of their trousers.
And we wrote on papyrus.
We did indeed.
When I was thinking of notes for education, I wrote down three things I wish I hadn't done at school. Yep. First one was, I wish I hadn't been tied to a tree in nursery school. The second one...
Teachers were hard but fair in those days, weren't they?
These are trails. We'll come back to these as stories. The second one was that I wish I hadn't been ordered to mime at a primary school concert.
Yes, yeah.
And the third one was that I wish that I hadn't become invisible at secondary school.
Yes, yes. That's what I do remember very well.
Yeah. Do you have any memories of nursery school, preschool?
Preschool? No, I mean, the only thing that I remember of my very first day of school was I can remember being taken into this large room where there were lots of other children, which was actually, it's now a private house, but it used to be the Girls and Infants School in Bedminster.
How did you qualify for that? Were you,
well, I think it was the infant side. I don't think I really changed gender or anything. But,
okay.
And I remember going into the, it seemed an enormous building to me. And I remember being quite sort of interested in the fact that all these other children were there. And quite staggered that one little boy, who I think I must have known already, no names, no pack drill, but he was sat absolutely wailing and crying and inconsolable because his parents had left him there. And I found that a bit strange. I couldn't see why, because it all seemed very exciting to me.
Wow.
I looking around, but the activities going on and people... playing with
independent,
stuff. So I can remember that very first morning. I think like many children, I was quite shocked and surprised to find that I had to go back the next day as well.
Ah, right.
I mean, often a thing that, what, again, you know. Mm. And then, but that's the only real early memory.
Like work, really, isn't it? You can do one day of work and that'll be it, fine.
Yeah.
But you've got to do it for years and years.
Now my
nursery school is the being tied to a tree, and I'm not quite sure why it happened. I know who did it. It was the son, who was much older. He was probably at primary school then.
Yeah.
Of the nursery school teacher.
Oh, right.
It's kind of a private nursery school.
Yeah.
And I think we'd been out at playtime, and for some reason, he tied me to a tree. And I remember standing there feeling quite unhappy. I was possibly crying.
Yes.
Because I hadn't been able to go back into the classroom. And I said, I don't know who came and found me. I don't know why he tied me to a tree. It's just quite a vivid memory.
This hasn't sort of encourage you to be interested in bondage or anything like that.
Later age. No. Well, I'm going to say sadly not, but I mean probably happily not. No. No, it's I've never wanted to be tied to anything ever again, actually. Is
I mean, I think my memories of, you know, early school days are of lining up to a bell and always being regimented and singing hymns from massive, what seemed like massive sheets that were pinned up on the wall.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But and of course reading, you know, learning to read and finding this whole new world that reading brought out in me. And I just loved it. I loved the fact that you could find these stories from it.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed pretty much all of school, really. Mm. You know, I mean, people talk about, you know, they say the best days of your life. I wouldn't say it was the best days of my life, but I certainly was never unhappy, particularly at school in the sense of learning.
No, I know. I never felt I didn't want to go to school. I mean, there were probably days when I thought, oh, I could do with just playing in the sunshine a bit, but it never made me rebellious and refused to go.
And I went to a primary school, a small sort of private school in Bridport, and my brother and sister had both been there before me. My sister was still there. There were only two classes, so there were probably 50 or 60 kids at most in the school. Yeah. My sister remembers that on my very first day at school, I was standing at the front in my smart new blazer, and a larger child behind me sneezed and decorated all the back of my blazer. I wasn't aware of that, but my sister was, you know, further back and could see, was feeling a bit sorry for me, I think, but it was fine for me, you know.
I remember, talking of, you know, blazers and things like that, I remember when moving up to the junior school, I suppose, in a building which apparently appeared as the third worst for facilities in the country in a newspaper report in the late 50s, yes, which was the old Bemister junior, well, it's the all-age school originally, and then it became the junior school at East Street in Bemister. And those old buildings, because the outside toilets, basically, the outside toilets were at the end of at the other end of the playground, and I think there was only cold water in the taps and a long urinal and stuff, and but that was for these poor junior school children to traipse out to if they needed to go to the toilet in all weathers. You know, we're talking snow and rain and everything.
You just break the ice and the bog, don't you?
Absolutely, you know? Yes. But it was also a place where you could, if you got a job as like milk monitor, which I did, it meant that you could waste the first, because you had to wash them in the sinks out there, you could waste the first 15, 20 minutes of the next lesson after break time, which I frequently did because it was maths, which explains why my maths has never been great, because a lot of the basic stuff I think I missed.
On the other hand, you are a fantastic milk monitor. Oh,
still, tell you what, yes, I
even
I
into later life, yes, you know, if ever I think, through. Oh, I really need a milk monitor now, I'm on the phone to you.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you see, milk, you know, those little half bottles, freezing cold in the winter.
Yep.
In the summer, you drank this warm, claggy stuff. That's an wish I hadn't, really.
Wish I hadn't drunk
some. Pretty unpleasant.
I'm sure it gave us various upset stomachs at the time, because it was probably going off at the time. And ours, I mean, in that particular, I'd say the facilities in that school, almost in the middle of the classroom, was a stove with a big pipe.
Yes.
And almost like, just like a fencing bit around it to make sure you didn't burn yourself on it. But it was in the classroom, and the crates of milk, you used to come in from the icy cold outside, frozen.
Yeah.
And be put near to this stove so that by break time, it had thawed out. Now, of course, if break was late, then it became warm, even in the winter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there were... It sounds Dickensian, doesn't it?
It does sound.
And this is why it was third worst in the country.
Yeah, it's so nice that that nice Mr. Dickens came in and wrote about our childhood, isn't it, really?
Yes, you know. Hard times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I think it's probably, you know, to be political for a minute, it's the only reason I ever have to think of Mrs. Thatcher kindly, because she was the one who did away with school milk, wasn't she? Maggie Thatcher milk snatcher.
Yes, indeed. But then again, John, if she'd not done away with it, or done away with it quicker, we wouldn't have been able to bring in that milkshake flavouring that we used to put in the milk when we were at secondary school. That's moving on to secondary
school.
Yes, I remember that.
We'll keep it to primary for the moment.
No, you're talking. I was saying about the school blazers. That I remember when it was still an all-age school, because when we first went there, I think it was still an all-age school for the ones who didn't go to grammar school.
And so you mean it went right up to
It was in 14 then, wasn't
14,
it?
14, yeah. 14. Yeah.
And we very small children used to, at playtime, ride round on the backs, like piggybacks.
Yes.
Having almost like a jockey on a horse on these older boys.
Yeah.
And they would run around with us on their shoulders, and we'd sort of, you know, slap at someone else to try and knock them off the shoulders onto the tarmac playground.
Yeah.
You know, very sensible thing to do. Yeah. But I can remember now that if you were hanging on to one of these older boys, I can remember the smell of the blazers, because these blazers have been passed down from child to child in a family.
Yeah.
Never been dry cleaned, obviously.
No.
And it was a heady mixture of sort of probably tobacco, because there would have been smoking going on.
Yeah.
Probably alcohol, because alcohol had been drunk. Mm. And basically body odour.
Yeah.
So it was like a comforting smell, because you knew you were safely hanging on to
That's
this
a very vivid steam memory.
That was tremendously vivid memory.
I'm going to come on to the second one. Like, I wish I hadn't been ordered to mime at a primary school concert. We had to do a summer concert for all the parents.
Yes.
On the lawn outside the headmistress's house.
This is an idyllic picture.
It is an idyllic picture. It was a lovely summer's evening.
Were there cucumber sandwiches with the crust cut off?
Yes,
And squash.
Exactly, yeah. We obviously had to do performances in advance, practices for the concert. Mm. And we had a music teacher, and as we were practicing, she shouted out, "Stop, everyone." And so we all stopped. And she said, and she sort of turned her ear to us, and she said, "Someone is groaning, and I think it's you, Jonathan." And you can imagine the shame. I mean, I've always thought I've got quite a nice voice. You know, I can hold a tune. But to be accused of groaning. And so I was told that I had to mouth the words and not sing. So when the school concert was for all the parents, I think probably my parents knew that I was miming. Mm. So I was probably one of the very first instances of people miming.
Yes.
You know, I mean, had I been on Top of the Pops at any occasion, I would have been an absolute master.
Absolutely, yes, no problem at all.
So I just had to mouth the words while every other child sang.
Yeah.
The humiliation is still there.
I can imagine. I mean, interesting, just as a slight divergence of that, when I was actually teaching and I started to bring in microphones and sound equipment for school productions, you'd have a group, large group of children, and it didn't matter where you put the microphones, that you always, the closest child to the microphone, who would be the loudest over the PA system, would be, as they called them, a growler. and you had to surreptitiously move them or move the microphone, but it always found them.
Slightly different connotation to growler.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Yeah, no, I thought carefully before I used the word.
Yeah, but we'll pass over that. Yeah.
A groaner.
Do you remember discipline at primary school?
At primary school, I remember there were children who were disciplined, and it was probably like a slipper or something, because that was still going at the time. I myself was never in that situation, I have to admit.
We never
someone who was going to upset the apple cart.
We have one of those teachers who would carry a ruler around. And if she disapproved of something, she would come and whack it down on your knuckles. Yeah. I can't remember. I got a feeling I was probably whacked with it. But, I mean, they were just sort of free with discipline in those days, weren't they?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Which, you know, obviously nowadays would cast terror into people. Yeah, you know, you'd be aghast if somebody did that. But it was just kind of, you know...
It was the norm at the time, wasn't it? It was the norm, We found that... I found that there were... I mean, I remember there were a couple of children who were disciplined in that way and were often told off in the classroom and shouted at and screeched at. And then, to be honest, eventually disappeared from the class, you know. And I think they were removed and sent somewhere else, schools for naughty boys and that sort of thing. And you just sort of forgot about them then because they weren't part of your life anymore. They'd gone. You
know? And school lunches at primary school, do you remember?
Yes, I do, because I was forced at primary school by one of the dinner ladies to eat, I think it must have been something like semolina or something I didn't like.
Frog spawn.
Horrendous. And I was ill afterwards. I threw up because I didn't like whatever it was. And I can remember I think it was my mum who came in and had words with the dinner lady after that because, you know, how dare you force my child to eat something he doesn't want to.
Right.
And I can always remember after that, it didn't work in my favour though because this dinner lady was quite vindictive and on duty at playtimes and dinner times after she wouldn't make me eat things. But I can remember being told off many times by this lady for small indiscretions because... She wasn't happy that she'd been told off, you know.
Yeah.
Chatted to by my mum, but no, that was. But actual school, I didn't mind school dinners. But having said that, I often went to my gran's house, which was only a short walk away at dinner time.
Did you? Okay.
At primary school, I was only about 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was allowed to walk to my gran's. Well, have lunch there.
It's funny you say that because I mean I was going to say firstly that my overriding memory of school dinners is mints, kind of grey.
Is that how you walk into the dining room?
That's right. But yeah, it seemed to be most days it was mints. I seem to remember. But it's true what you say because if you finished your school lunch, you were then able to walk up the road, the main road, to the sweet shop.
Yeah.
And I always remember one unfortunate kid who could never finish his dinner because, you know, he obviously had sort of eating issues. He was never able to go up. But we were free to leave the school in the lunch hour when we were probably 8 or 9. Walk up on your own or with friends to the shop. Again, it's just such a foreign concept today, isn't it?
Totally. I mean, it just wouldn't happen, you know. I mean, it's frowned upon with some of the older children these days. I mean, some of them do, but we were, as you say, we were primary school age and we were out to leave the premises.
Yeah, so it's not, and I wish I hadn't, because there was no issue with that, was there, really? So, I mean, you know, then you got on to, I mean, did sports days, do you remember anything about sports days?
Sports days, remember sports days, things, such events as throwing the cricket ball.
Quite sophisticated. Yeah. I was thinking egg and spoon races.
Yeah, well, I think we did all those.
Sack
races. I'll be honest, I was in a class where I was never ever going to win very many things because, in our lifetime, the Paul Rendles and the Andrew Newberries were in the same class as me.
Yeah.
And they were far better at everything and won everything.
Well,
I did once win throwing the cricket ball, which is why I remember that.
Oh, well done.
But I think Andrew must have had an off day or felt unwell.
Yeah.
And I actually beat him by a couple of yards. Somewhere I have a certificate that says first in throwing the cricket ball.
Very good. You still have the certificate?
I think it's somewhere up in the loft, yes.
It's one of your prized. I think I've seen it framed in your house, actually. You shouldn't be modest about it.
Yes, in the lounge over the fireplace.
Now, I don't have particularly happy memories of school. You know, there were, as I say, egg and spoon race. There was the slow bicycle race, which is an interesting one. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember.
Three-legged race. But the one I enjoyed the most was the wheelbarrow race.
Yes.
Because I had a friend who was the tallest boy in the class. I was the front of the wheelbarrow, And although it sort of looked rather improper, you know, I mean, somebody would pick you up and you were kind of scissored at the waist, weren't you?
Indeed, yeah,
but then he was a big, strong boy, so he could virtually pick me up and my hands would just sort of patter along the grass. And we won by a mile because all the others were painfully sort of plodding along hand over hand.
Yeah.
And we were just pattering to the end straight away.
Yeah. They always seem to be fun, those sports. The concept of everybody has to win wasn't there at the time.
No.
It was a case of you either won second or third. Anything else was nowhere.
Nowadays it's rather frowned on they're not considered to be competitive, are they now?
We've been talking for quite some time about our primary and first school experiences. And
yeah.
I don't know if you've got any more of those to come out or whether you're ready to move on to...
I think we move on to the next stage of education. I mean,
in fact, I think what we'll do is, looking at the how much we've recorded so far, I think we'll make this a part one of education.
I think
and
so.
We'll move on and to we'll, to part two. For
we'll
another
give
time.
The genie a lot of stuff. I mean, yes. we could call him in now just to maybe dispose of a few things.
Well, I'd actually quite like him to come in and maybe make me enjoy the semolina so I didn't have to worry every lunchtime about, well, more about being, picked on by this dinner lady.
Yeah.
Because the fact that I've got a memory of it means it obviously did stick with me for some time, but I'll worry about that. So thank you, Genie, for removing...
Yes.
Maybe you can remove her as well.
That would be nice.
Which is a little bit...
Yeah, she'd disappear in a puff of smoke. Yeah, or fall into a vat of mints.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
And it would probably taste the same, to be honest.
Yeah.
But for me, I think I'd like the genie to make me sing as sweetly as a nightingale, so that the teacher put me front and centre, singing in the loudest voice, so that I wasn't hidden at the back miming.
The Alan Jones of your generation.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Brilliant, yes. Okay, well, on... For the next time, to the next stage of our education, which would be secondary.
Secondary.
Yeah.